Okay, so this is part two to episode one. I don't even remember if this is like take 256 or something of part two. I don't even remember now what I put in part one. But I may have mentioned that this is the first time I've ever recorded a podcast, even though now I'm on, like I said, like feels like over 200 takes. That's not true, but so encountering lots of stylistic and technical difficulties, and have redone the second part multiple times, just it for various reasons. Anyway, so I appreciate your patience with the issues in part one in particular. I know I sounded like I was in a cave and lots of as I try to keep my mouth moving at the speed of my brain. And so hopefully I can do better on the second part and hopefully stay a little bit more. I've been a little bit rambly and have redone it multiple times. But at any rate, the first part ended abruptly, as you may or may not have noticed. My computer software decided to quit. I guess I was too long. It just decided to quit recording at that point. But I wanted to finish because Dark Night is the Soul. Dark Night of the Soul, as indicated in the title, is a dark, heavy topic. And I don't want to leave it hanging with no strategies in terms of how to navigate through this, because it's not done. It's not going to be done for a while in terms of what I'm told by guidance that I've received and messages from spirit. I think we easily have another 6 months of this. I hate to say that. I hate to say that. I think as much as anyone hates to hear that. And that may or may not be true, but I feel like that is true. And I think it could be even longer than that. Simply because I think that's going to be the bulk of it. But so many systems, as I said in part one, so many systems, it has become, unless we choose to go back to sleep, if we choose to go back to sleep and totally ignore the things that are coming up for us to examine, if we decide to go back to sleep and to ignore everything, then yes, it's going to go, it will go back to more or less normal. But, and while that may sound appealing, the problem with that is that where we were was not working. And I know people have said that. I'm certainly not the only person to say that. It just wasn't working. We have seen such levels of ineptitude, just corruption, just at worst, at best, just systems that just don't work. They're ineffective, inefficient. And, to ignore that and to go back to what was at this point would just be foolish. And so we do have, I think, a good 6 months while all of this continues to be uncovered. I mean, I just don't even think we've gotten to the depths of things yet. There are still things left to be uncovered. And it just takes people time. And so that will be part of it as well, is time for people to see through. The illusion breaks at different points for everyone. Not everyone sees through the illusions at the same time. And so we really have a good solid 6 months until people really are able to see the depths of what is happening. And then from that 6 month point on will be a period of rebuilding and integration, not reintegration, but integration, which, those pose their own challenges. And in that space of, so there will be a point in time, like an inflection point that happens between the 6 months and that period moving forward from there. There will be a period of time where, in order to move forward and rebuild, we have to come back together as a human species. Because right now, we are very divided. And it just it cannot we cannot rebuild in the space where we are now. And a lot of it, and I don't think, and I'm not saying that necessarily as I do hate to see, I really it really has been difficult to see like the cancel culture that has been happening and the loudness of the voices that refuse to also hear. And so we right now on both sides, on all sides, we have a lot of people talking at other people. There's so much noise and people, but nothing is being received. And those things have to come to some kind of conclusion before. And I think they're just a symptom of the disconnection we talked about earlier. You know, those all go hand in hand. Those things, though, however, have to come to some kind of conclusion. And we have to rebuild a connection before we're going to be able to move forward. So that is really going to be critical at that, even now. I mean, that's work we can start doing now. But at that 6 month period or whenever, you know, whatever, it could be 5 months. But whenever that period happens, we have to take, it's going to be like a pause almost, where there's not going to be anything really actively happening. It's going to be a period of time where we're reforming connections. And so how do we do that? How do we get out of this dark night of the soul? How do we, and not, the point is not to get out of it, by the way. The point is to go through it. And so I want to be very deliberate in my language around that because there's no avoiding this. There is no getting out early. There's no, I wish, I keep joking, like, where's the tap out button? There is no tapping out of this, though. There's no avoidance of what is happening and what we're going through. And the only way to do it is to go through it, through the middle of it. And embrace, I mean, in some way, embrace it and surrender to it. So not in a defeatist way. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm not talking about just laying down and giving up or, you know, finding a corner to huddle up in. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, though, accepting that this is where we are. And once we can accept it, then we can figure out how to move forward from an individual. And it always goes from an individual to a cultural or whatever you identify as your tribe, to then our country. And part of the difficulties that our country is facing right now is that we are kind of a melting pot of so many different cultural and racial groups and religious. I mean, so we have a lot of different, we're a very heterogeneous nation in terms of all those different, in terms of those different groups. And then, so from individual to tribal or to, you know, your cultural, racial, religious groups to the country as a whole, and then globally. And I just want to say something really quickly about the United States. And the United States certainly is not the only country that this is true of. There are others. But one of the difficulties that the United States is going to face and is facing and is going to have to somehow figure out a way around is that we are very heterogeneous. And so we have so many. And like I said, we are facing the dark night of the soul on every imaginable level. So not only is every individual going through that right now, every cultural group is as well. And then, as a country, we are somehow going to have to put all of that together in order to come back together as a country. It's going to be far more difficult to do it in the United States and other countries where there is a large heterogeneous population in terms of ethnic groups, racial groups, religious groups, etc., social groups, socioeconomic groups, versus another country who might be more homogeneous in their. In their population. But again, I think, you know, the purpose, and I've said this before, I mean, we have so many challenges as a nation The United States is who I'm speaking of particularly. We have a lot of issues. But also, if you look at it from a human evolutionary standpoint, countries like this that are put together very heterogeneously, which means a lot of disparate parts coming together as one, that really does lay the foundation for us to evolve as humans. So how do we become a global species that interacts as one? It happens. One of the foundational points is figuring out how to do it as a country. And so there's relevance to that. And so while I know a lot of people are very, I don't know what word to use here, but upset, with being in the United States or upset with the country as a whole, there is, I think, if you can acknowledge and appreciate where this, the role that this is playing in our overall evolution, I think it makes it a little bit easier to see that we really are being presented with a super important lesson here in how to move forward as a species, as a whole. So that was a little bit of a side trip. But I want to talk about how do we navigate this time? And so one of my passions is talking about transitions. We go through transitions our whole lives of, varying degrees. Dark Night of the Soul is but one type of transition, but it is one of the more important ones because of its depth. It really is, the symbolism of a butterfly, transforming from a caterpillar into a butterfly is so apropos of Dark Night of the Soul. It's that idea of being one thing and dissolving and reforming and becoming something new. And that really is what the Dark Night of the Soul is about. It's you can really only navigate it as one. And so as when you're looking at it on an individual level, you can only go through it yourself, and that's why it feels so lonely and isolating, because what you'll find is while people can offer you support, they cannot get you through it. You have to dig deep to get through it yourself. And then when we're looking at Dark Night of the Soul as, let's go up to the next level, because as I've said, we're going through it on multiple levels. So let's look really quickly at how we get through each level. So as an individual, you can only get through it yourself. You really are. It's just you. When you're looking at it culturally or religiously or whatever the group is, you have to get through it as one. And so the members of that group need to be able to come together as one to navigate. As a country, it would take all of those groups now coming together as one to navigate it as a country, and then so on and so forth. So you see the scale changes, but it always comes back to that idea of needing to be one. Okay. Whenever we're talking about something at this scale, it always starts at the individual level. That is where the process begins. So we will never be able to come together as a nation until, these different groups sort out their stuff. And those groups can never sort out their issues until, or navigate their own Dark Night of the Soul, their own evolution, until the individual members go through their own Dark Night of the Soul and navigate their evolution. So it all backs up to the individual, and that's why it's so important that as an individual, we do our work. So, okay, going back to the Dark Night of the Soul, one more time before I move into kind of specific recommendations, I have to point out that when we evolve as a human, and really what's happening on the grander scale as well, when we evolve through a dark night of the soul, one of the things that's happening is that we are, what's being dissolved is our tribal nature. So we, as unevolved human beings, especially ones that are, you know, there are a lot of terms that get thrown around, and sometimes I try to avoid them because there's so many things attached to them that I think aren't true, but sometimes it's just, you can't avoid it. It's just so much easier to throw those terms out there and people kind of understand. So as a human being who, let's say, you know, we have this term woke and unwoke and asleep or sheep or, you know, all these terms are being thrown around right now, but unconscious, you know, so we have a lot of people that are walking around largely unconscious of their interior world, of that there's more to this than meets the eye, you know, and by that I mean there's a whole nother side, there's other realms, there's so much. We are, you know, this one life with us as human beings, you know, this isn't it. But for some people, that's what they see and that's all that they think there is. So you have that person who exists, and for that person, what is very important is the tribe. The tribe is survival. You know, it's survival. It's the sense that is where they derive their sense of self. So their definition of who they are comes from the tribe. And to go through the dark night of the soul, almost always, I don't want to say always, but I think it really is always. I'm just trying to be cautious there because I'm thinking off the cuff. But I want to say pretty much always, when you go through the dark night of the soul, you're really dissolving that tribal identity and evolving into a spiritual identity. And when I use the term spiritual, I don't mean religious. I mean there is, you know, it can look so many different ways, you know, whether you believe in other lives or the soul continues after death, or you believe in energy, or you know, there's so many ideas that are tied into that idea of a larger spiritual sense, and however that looks for you, but you don't have to embrace all of them to go through the dark night of the soul. So for instance, you might go through one dark night of the soul, you start to break down a little bit that tribal idea of who you are and become yourself. And that idea of, you know, going into that more spiritual sense of who you are might only be that you no longer feel that you have to have the approval of your parents in order to be successful. You know, so it doesn't even have to really dive into like kind of the spiritual woo side of things. It can simply be relying more on yourself than on the external to define your world. So you're defining yourself interiorly, internally, versus taking in from the exterior. And so as we go through these dark nights of the soul, again, what's happening is we're breaking down the constructs of what we're taking in from our tribe and converting that into our own definitions. And so how are those definitions, you know, whatever they come out to be. But that's really what's happening right now on all these various levels, is that we're breaking down tribal constructs and evolving them. And this is really important because we, you know, I think those of us that look with a very honest, discerning viewpoint can see that there are so many of our systems that aren't working. And they aren't working in different ways and for different reasons. But the only way to dismantle them really is to go through this transition, this period of chaos, to break them down and redefine them. So we're redefining from the tribal, the accepted tribal definition, and we're revamping that. We're evolving that definition into something else. Okay. Sorry, this one is getting to be a little bit more rambly than I wanted to as well. There's just so many ideas that can be drawn into this. But I want to finish and wrap this up. I know this has gotten a little bit long, but I wanted to wrap this up with some strategies on how you can get through this period. And while you're getting through it, also contribute to the world, because we're getting a lot of messages right now about what it looks like for, you know, how can we be good humans and make the world a better place. You know, we're getting a lot of external messages about that. And I'm not going to discuss whether any of those are good messages or bad messages. I mean, you know, we're getting a lot right now in terms of who we support and what we're posting on our Instagram pages and what we're wearing out in public. I'm not going to talk about any of those. What I want to talk about, though, is however you feel about those external messages about how you support the world moving forward, the biggest message that you have to understand is that in order to support the world and the changes that it's going through, the necessary changes it's going through, the only way to support that world is to do your own work. And by that, I mean your own inner work, and that's your own dark night of the soul, getting through that process. Again, we're told so many messages when we're children. We're really programmed at a very tribal level about what is expected of us and what things are supposed to look like. So we are given a lot of definitions. One of the definitions, of course, is the definition of success. Another definition is not so much a definition, but we're told that we have to change the world. You know, like to be a good person, you want to change the world. So I'm going to tell you that to be a good person, to change the world, means you have to change yourself and you have to heal yourself. That is not part that we're taught. We are always taught that to change the world, we have to do something in the exterior world, the outer world. And that in order to do something in the outer world, it has to be active, which is a very masculine principle of being active. There's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely. I mean, we absolutely do need to be active in the outer and the inner world. But the other part of that, which creates a lot of imbalance, is that we do not embrace being passive and going inward. And pausing, we don't practice the pause, because we're taught that to change the world and be successful, we have to be actively doing something in the outer world. We have not been taught to value our inner world, and an inner world that is quiet and introspective and asks a lot of questions. And so that is where we need to be. And when I say, you know, being quiet and in your inner world, I'm not talking about being distracted. So, you know, 10 hours of Netflix isn't going to help you out any. It really just kind of perpetuates those exterior messages, you know, because that's really what's reflected to us in those programs. That is a way that we are programmed, is through television and movies and whatever. So, but we need to learn this process of going inside. I hope you can't hear, my washer is next door and it's like really loud. Hopefully it's not coming over the microphone. But we need this process. We need to embrace this process of going inside and reflecting. And that's, we have not as a collective group, we have not been doing that. And what that means, and this is where people get very uncomfortable, is when we do this work, it means that when we are, okay, an analogy that I can give you, and this is something I think that it's taught in school, but not just in school. I mean, it really is reinforced in so many different ways in our society, but even from small children, we're taught really to not question, that those that know better. So whoever the authority is, and the authority doesn't have to be government. The authority can be your parents, it can be your spouse, it can be, you know, teachers, doctors, police, you know, government as a whole. So, but we're taught that there are different authorities, in that when an authority speaks, that we listen and we take it in, and that we don't need to question and we don't need to parse it out. We just take it in. And so it's like somebody handing you an apple and saying, here, eat this apple, but don't bite it, don't chew it, eat the apple whole. The problem with that is you have a lot of the apple that's not really edible. And so what we need to learn to do is to stop that. And we have been so well programmed, by the way, we have been so thoroughly programmed that a lot of us don't even stop long enough to, we just don't pause long enough to even remember that we should be stopping to take a bite and to chew it. And is there anything we need to spit out? You know, is it safe to swallow it all? We just do this so unconsciously. And what this time is calling for is for us to be very conscious and intentional in the information that we're taking in. And we need to examine it. And we need to look at a lot of, not only do we need this pause and this deliberate examination, we also simultaneously need to be waking up our internal guidance and systems. That, again, that is something that we have been programmed to shut down. Because again, this message, right? This message that comes that when an authority speaks to you and gives you information, you don't need to think about it. You just need to take it in and that's it. So two things have happened. One is we have been conditioned to just take it in without even pausing. The second thing that's happened is over time, when we took it in without pausing, that process has basically redirected our energy and shut down our intuitive systems. So where's that energy would have before come through our intuitive systems? Now it's been bypassed. And so we need to somehow activate those intuitive systems again. And it's not hard to do. It really is just that, the best way to do it, honestly, if you are someone, everybody's intuitive, by the way, everybody has those extrasensory perceptions, everyone. Nobody is gifted in that regard. If someone is gifted in that regard, the only difference is that those perceptions the energy has not been rerouted away from them. That is really that's all that gifted means, is that somebody still has energy routing through those perceptions, and so they're able to capture them. But for so many of us, we have rerouted energy for so long, we have effectively shut those down. And so we need to get energy back to those. And it's not hard to do. Really, it is that moment of pause and questioning. And as soon as you ask your own interior self, does this sound true? Does this sound right? Does it sound logical? Am I being lied to? Is this person being honest? So when we start asking those questions of honesty versus deception, truth versus deceit, logic versus irrationality, as soon as you ask those questions, you are putting energy back into that intuitive system. You are activating it. And so that really, for people to get through 2020, that is the thing that I would say is really critical, is that we have to start pausing. And we have to start questioning what we're being told, because right now there's a lot. Dark Night of the Soul 2020 right now is about all the shadows coming out. The shadows have to come out. All of this gunk has to come out, by the way. It's not a bad thing. It has to happen so that change and evolution can happen. You can't evolve as long as you have all of that. It's a lot of weight. That's been submerged under the consciousness for a long time. And that has to come out and be exposed and essentially released in order for us to evolve. And so it's not a bad thing that's happening, but these shadows are all coming up. And the shadows are coming up with a lot of force. And so the deceptions are temporary. I really do believe it's temporary unless we choose to go back to sleep. But the deceptions are coming up with this like raging, even more deceptive. I mean, it's like the illusions they're attempting. I mean, basically it's like, when something is, you know, digs down into the mud, that's where it survives, is being down in the mud. And when you pull it up out of the mud, what's it going to do? It's going to like flounder even more quickly to get back down in the mud. And that's kind of what, that's not a great analogy, but that's what's really happening with these shadows right now, that we're exposing them to the light. They don't like to be exposed to light. And so they're digging fast and furious to get back underground. And so that's why, for those that are awake and are asking questions, it seems, I mean, it seems like the worst movie plot ever. I mean, it's so unrealistic and ridiculous. I mean, it's like, it's just crazy. Some of the narratives that are being spun right now, but it is that effort to get back, and really get back people back to sleep so that people aren't seeing it. And so that's why the questioning process is so important, especially right now, because the deception is getting thicker in an effort to get the shadows submerged again, so they're not visible and on display. And so the best thing you can do right now is really to pause whenever you're given a narrative. And I don't care, by the way, this has to be said, because we are forgetting this. This is yet another deception. We think that if we see something on one side that we don't like, that if we go to the other side, that suddenly it's okay. That it's not how this works. There are things happening on both sides right now that are of the shadow, that are deceptive. So just picking a side in this is not going to work. And so I don't care. You know, you can't say one side is bad and go to the other side and assume it's good. There are no sides here. I mean, the illusion is that there are two sides, but the reality is there are no sides. We are really standing, you know, the image that I'm given is like we're standing on a precipice surrounded by this, and we have to keep going. You can't jump off the edge into, you know, thinking that there's a side there. There's not a side. It's all deception. We're surrounded by deception right now. And the only way really to go is up. So if you're jumping to one side or the other, it's ultimately not going to work. We have to be discerning. And that is the way to go up, by the way, is to be discerning. And so we can't just say, I'm trying to think colors. I'm trying to do a color that's not going to be, you know, we can't say the orange side is good and the green side is bad, or the green side is good and the orange side is bad. It's just not going to work that way. We have to really take in everything that we're being told and examine it for truth and deception and all those things I talked about before. Okay, so that's part of it. The second part is that's an exhausting process, that constant evaluation. And so the other part of getting through 2020 is honoring yourself and listening to yourself. And again, it's honoring your own individual process of moving through the dark night of the soul, because remember, the individual reflects out into the world. And so it is really not only that process of, you know, examining what you're taking in, but also how you're treating your interior, how you're maintaining it. So are you tapping out when you're tired and you've had enough? That's really important. And it is okay. Again, we're taught, we have messages given to us from the time we are teeny tiny that we don't tap out. You know, even when we're sick, we're supposed to work through it and muscle through it. And, you know, we just push. That's what we're told. But we cannot do that during this time. We really have to be willing to listen to ourselves, to tap out when we need to tap out, and give ourselves time to integrate there's a lot of energies happening right now. We need to be able to integrate. We need to just give ourselves a break and rest. And we need to just allow ourselves to heal. So really giving ourselves space. So those are the two things that I say for navigating through 2020. The first thing is really getting your intuitive system active again. The way to do that is to pause and start asking questions and being a little ruthless, honestly, when you ask your questions, because in the ruthlessness really isn't the ruthlessness comes in evaluating when you're asking questions that challenge your own beliefs and your own thought patterns. And that's where the ruthlessness comes in. You can't just stop when it starts to feel uncomfortable, the questions you're asking. You have to push through. But again, that process is tiring, and you have to also, the second thing is to give yourself a break and honor yourself. Now, when it's time to tap out and take a break, that you do that and you give yourself a rest. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening to my first ever podcast. I hope it wasn't too painful on top of a painful 2020. So I just want to leave you with this quickly. For just a moment, I just want to open and expand the heart center. And so closing your eyes, feeling your body deeply relax. And so a lot of times, if you're having trouble relaxing, one very good exercise to do is to just let each, systematically work through your body, moving, for example, wiggling your toes, moving your ankles, moving your knees. We store a lot of energy in our joints. And so by giving them the opportunity to move and then direct them to relax, it's just kind of like when you tell somebody they're going to have to hold their breath, it's like giving them that opportunity to take a deep breath, right? And so if you're struggling to relax, I always suggest you just do a little bit of movement just to get some of that out. And then feel your body relaxing deeply and breathing deep into the belly. And then bring your attention to the heart center. And the heart center is in the center of your chest. And just feel, just sit there for a minute. Just bring your awareness to it. You can feel the breath moving through it. And so another good exercise as we do this is as you breathe in, imagine that that air is nice and crisp and clear and clean and energized and rejuvenating. And that is rejuvenating our body. It's transferring all that good energy to our body. And then as we exhale, that air removes anything, toxins, debris, stagnant energy, anything that needs to come out and be released. And so you're breathing in this crisp, clear, cool air. You're exhaling something that, may appear like smoke or may have flecks of waste in it or debris or whatever needs to come out. And then see that settle to the ground where Gaia, Mother Earth, composts it and recycles it. And so feel that crisp, clean air coming in through that heart space, and it's just revitalizing it. And then that air is removing as it exhales, removing any heaviness or unwanted energies, energies that are not beneficial, and taking them out of the body. And then what I want you to do is see your heart space, whatever size that it is, and then I want you to just imagine that it's going to expand out just a little bit, getting bigger. And this is a very comfortable process. It happens very naturally. As soon as you ask your heart to expand, it does. And then breathing in a few breaths into that new expanded space. And then once again, ask your heart space to expand and see it bump out a little bit bigger and wider, and it's more expansive. again, sitting in this space, allowing the air to move through it. And then you can continue this exercise. You can sit wherever it's comfortable, you know, as you're expanding your heart. As you do this more and more times, you might expand your heart to, ideally you get your heart expanded to encompass your body. So you see it as opened wide enough that it is able to encompass your entire physical form. And that is about the natural size of the electromagnetic field of our heart. As I talked about in the first one with heart math, our hearts do radiate out to that point naturally. And so after you do and you get comfortable at that level, and some of us honestly have shut down, so I say that's the natural space. Some of us have shut down defensively, especially this year. And so you want to at least get it out to that size. And then when that feels comfortable, you can practice expanding it even more. You might expand it to the room that you're sitting in. You might expand it to the size of your house. You can even get crazy and expand it to the size of your city and your state, your country, the world, and bigger. And so this is really, it just opening our heart space in this way. It does not make us vulnerable, but what it does allow is for us to start to reconnect on a human to human heart level. And again, that's the piece that is going to be so critical when we finally get all of these shadows exposed and it's time to rebuild. As a new society, we are going to have this heart space open. So this is an excellent exercise to do right now, in addition to the things I talked about before, which is activating the intuition and also attending to your own healing and your own wellness and how nourished you are, how much rest you get, all of those things about taking care of you. So, okay. I hope that was helpful. I will be offering some weekly connection sessions where we'll just come in and we can do this. We'll do this live, and that would give people an opportunity to share their own thoughts and experiences, and we'll do meditations like this together. it's always very healing when multiple people can come together in a healed way and merge their energies and send it out. Sorry, my throat's getting a little dry. So I'll be doing that as a weekly session, and which you can sign up for, on an individual session basis. And then we'll also be doing some classes upcoming, like a series of classes, probably about 6 to 7 weeks in duration, where we go through activating the intuitive system, perception by perception. So if you're interested in doing more than just your innate intuition, and you really want to dive into, different types of clairvoyance and clairaudience and all of those things, a different class is called Stepping Into Your Power. And so this will be for those that have not done a lot of work in the energetic realm, this would be where I would teach you how to basically your overall energetic system, energetic hygiene, grounding, how to connect to your divine guides. So that's kind of the accentuation of your intuitive system. So at any rate, those are other offerings that I have. If you're interested, this can be found on my website under classes. And so anyway, thank you so much. And thanks for your patience with my first foray into podcasting. And I hope you found this helpful. And I will talk to you soon. Thanks so much. Take care.